You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon, 3:02. Let's do this. Great show lined up for you. Very excited today. We've got Christopher Gabriel on, back by popular demand. Can't believe it took us so long to get this guy on the show and make him a regular part of the festivities. We move him into the prime slot. He's going to join here in about 20 minutes in the first hour so that we have plenty of time to react to whatever he is about to say on these airwaves. Josh Pate, 247sports.com, going to join us in hour number three. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Russ. Beautiful day. Just kind of watching the news that just broke.
Very, very shocking news, developing story that we are following. Let's head right to the Fan Run Radio breaking news desk off the top. Los Angeles County Sheriff's confirmed that Tiger Woods has been hospitalized following a single car rollover crash early this morning. He had to be extracted from the car by the jaws of life after his car sustained major damage. According to the statement, there are no other people or cars involved in the crash. There have been some pictures released of the vehicle. He was driving what appears to be a rental car from the Genesis Invitational. And according to, we don't know a ton, Bear. According to his agent, Mark Steinberg, Tiger suffered multiple leg injuries, and he is currently in surgery. And
yes,
that is really all we know at this point.
Yeah, other than the cable news, is they've been describing his injuries from moderate to critical. So,
he's not dead. I mean, that's like the...
No, but he's been in a... I mean, that car is thrashed.
Yeah. And anytime the word jaws of life are involved, like, you're gonna go through some stuff. And he was taken via ambulance to the hospital, and so he's having surgery. I mean, it would be reckless to speculate, but obviously he's got some serious injuries that he's going to be dealing with. And you can't help but wonder, Bear. I mean, he had back surgery recently, and
I mean, you start talking about, you know, multiple leg injuries on top of his back and God knows what else. It looks like a NASCAR kind of deal. Like, the whole front end of the car is just gone.
Yeah.
So there's no telling. You know, your legs are just right up in there. You know, you never think about that.
Yeah, I mean, very, very disappointing news. Very, very shocking news to start the show. I mean, the best.
Why does Tiger not have a driver?
They're all in his golf bag.
Alex. Too soon.
How are you doing?
Too soon. It's a good question. Like, I would think that he would want to. I bet he does after this.
You can see where it how it happened. They're going back with the helicopter.
And I was talking with the Talk Sports boys on my way in here today. He's had just a lot of bizarre car related incidents. I mean, there's the wrecked Escalade on Thanksgiving back in, what was that, 2008 or so, which really kind of began his downfall. And then he had the DUI, where he had the footage of him just totally wasted. I think he thought he was in California. He was in Florida. He's on Ambien and Xanax and God knows what else. And now this, it's like, Tiger, bro, you don't need to be driving, man. You're one of the, you're probably the most famous athlete in the world of the last 20 years. You don't need to be behind the wheel of a car.
I mean, if, what they're showing on TV, it looks like he had lost control about 800 or 900 feet. I mean, they just went over it. And then he ended up flipping the thing way up onto this hill. Ah. Some people just shouldn't drive, man.
Very shocking news this afternoon. You hate to start off a show like that. But that's where we are, and we will keep you updated as we roll through here this afternoon. But a lot going on. The baseball team's getting set to play here about an hour and a half. It is a gorgeous day here in East Tennessee. Lindsey Nelson Stadium, home opener for Tony Vitello and the Baseball Vols. And, Alex, I expect a thorough update on the top five at five.
Absolutely. Give you live score updates as we go.
When we get to that. Alex, can you go ahead and pull the Rick Barnes clip?
Yes,
I can. I was telling you about yesterday. Tennessee basketball reeling here as we head into the final week of the regular season and a road date at Vanderbilt tomorrow. And a lot of you have been asking, a lot of speculation about COVID and its lingering effect on this basketball team, particularly when it comes to Fulkerson and Pons. And let me be clear, it has been speculation. We don't know much about it. But Rick Barnes did do an interview yesterday with Jim Rome. And he had his most interesting comments about it so far. And if we don't have it, that's fine. I can paraphrase. But he basically said, look, I think there's something to it, the COVID fatigue thing, because we've had players that have had COVID and have had trouble getting over it in the past. And he referenced Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics, something that he had said last week. And this flew under my radar, but I went back and found it. And basically he said, yeah, like I had COVID earlier this year and I've been back for a while now, but I'm still getting my wind back. And I find myself sucking wind at times out there. And it has been a difficult road to get back. So, Bear, do you still think that there's something to that and that this weird dip in form that we've seen from John Fulkerson after the dominant performance we saw him put on at the end of last season combined with other guys on the team who have not exactly lived up to preseason expectations, do you think that that could be due to the fact that it sounds like 11 out of our 13 scholarship players have already had a COVID-19 infection?
I mean, it's that's most likely explanation. There's no other reason that he would look as, I mean, because at times he's looked weak. And I'm not saying that, you know, like it's a slight or a cut down, a put down of him. But, you know, I mean, I've never seen, he's never been the guy that gets slung down or bumped. And you know, I mean, it wasn't a flop. I can't remember which game it was last week, but he ran into somebody and he just sprawled. Looks like me coming down the steps at old Ben Franklin.
Yeah, I'm glad you're finally owning that. Speaking of old Ben Franklin, I'll be there live tomorrow. Another beautiful day in the forecast. I'll be hanging out at OBFM, 9711 Kingston Pike, right across from Franklin Square. Always great to be back out there and see what they've got going on. I bet you they'll have a few new Mitsubishis on the lot. It is easy in a Mitsubishi. I don't know if you've heard. So, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Bear, I just wonder, I've got a bad feeling about just the end of the season in general, but I said on Voluntary Reaction that there's no doubt we're going to beat Vanderbilt on Wednesday and turn around and lose to Auburn. So we get closer to the Vanderbilt game. I'm not so sure. They're playing better, man.
Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
But it's Vanderbilt. I expect us to win the game.
They kept it within four against Alabama.
Their last two games against Kentucky and Alabama, they took it to the wire to the very end of the ball game. Didn't win, but obviously those two teams, Bama and Vandy, Bama and Kentucky, playing better than us right now. And so, yeah, I'm worried about it, and it just feels like this team is running out of chances to get it turned around. But we'll see. Big game tomorrow night, and another 9 o'clock tip in Music City. Shout out to John and Hayden having the 11 p.m. tip-off for Volunteer Your Action. That can't be a whole lot of fun.
No, I don't imagine it would be.
I'm sure those guys will pull through, though. But Tennessee basketball sputtering here down the stretch. We'll see if they can't somehow bring this thing into dock right here at the end of the season. You've got the Ty Simpson saga drawing nearer and nearer to a conclusion, or is it? He's scheduled to make his announcement on Friday, choosing between Tennessee, Clemson, and Alabama.
I'm not that wound up. I mean, I don't know. Am I crazy for not being that wound up?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I feel like I know exactly what you're about to say. Like, it seems like we would have a four-star quarterback in-state prospect, as bad as we've been recruiting in-state the past two or three years, and B, at quarterback on the field for the past three or four years since Dobbs left, that we ought to be pulling our hair out, losing our mind. This should be one of the bigger recruitments in recent memory, right?
But it should be.
Yeah, I do feel, though, that we've got bigger fish to fry in terms of what's going on with the NCAA and everything else going on with Heupel trying to get his feet wet. But B, I just feel like, Bear, you're looking at a coach who has done good work without the A-list four- or five-star quarterback so far in his career. I don't know that he needs an elite QB prospect to put together an elite offense. It helps. I certainly want Ty Simpson. But when you talk about David Horn's son being Plan B, he's a four-star quarterback prospect as well down there in Georgia. And then Caden Salter already being on campus, as well as the renewed emphasis on the transfer portal and all the different possibilities that that's going to bring up, not only this year but next year. Who knows who's going to be in that thing going forward, who might want to play for Josh Heupel in a high-powered offense like this. I'm not as worried about it as I've been for some other ones.
All right. I'm more worried about our linebacker situation.
I think I'm more – quarterback is more important, but it just seems like this one is not getting the attention it would if the program were a little bit more stable. Like, if Pruitt had somehow managed to hang on here and he was coming back for another year, then, yeah, it's probably the biggest thing going right now. But on the other hand, if Pruitt had come back, I think that the A-word, apathy, would really be setting in at this time. So we should all be thankful that didn't happen.
I mean, it's hard for me to even imagine Cornbread being back here.
Oh, man. I don't even want to think about it. I mean, you think things are bleak as far as the basketball team tanking here and football getting set to go on probation or whatever? Like, at least people are still somewhat engaged with the football program. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like enthusiasm is at an all-time high. It's not. But I feel like there were a lot of people that were getting set to walk away if Jeremy Pruitt had been given some sort of a stay of execution for a year. I feel like there are a lot more people, and maybe there are some people who are doing that anyway, but I feel like that number would be a lot higher.
Cornbread.
It would have been, even though people were a lot more passionate in their feelings about Butch Jones, I mean, Butch Jones didn't even come close to being as horrific as this guy's tenure was.
All right, Alex, you found this is Rick Barnes yesterday on the Jim Rome Show, nationally syndicated radio, talking about the lingering impact of COVID on his roster.
I really do think there's something to be said about COVID fatigue. I think that we're watching some players that have been good players that are struggling, that's had the virus. I think that, and I'm glad Jason Tatum came out and talked about that, because even though you get yourself going, there's some difference to it once you go through it. But it was a tough time for all of us here. And, you know, right now we're testing 3 times a week, and not everyone obviously has tested, you know, positive for the virus. So it's scary every time you go in those 3 days hoping that test is going to come back negative.
Rick Barnes yesterday on the Jim Rome Show. But Jim Rome's still out there plugging away, landing the big-name guests, Bear.
I didn't even know he's still in the air, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool when you think about it.
You got a Jim Rome impersonation, Russ?
Rome, have a take, don't suck. I've said before, man, like the Jim Rome, that's my generation's guy. I think this your generation, probably big Dan Lebatard fans, is kind of the big guy in sports radio, or was, until I guess he's kind of man without a home now. I don't know who else is out there. The Colin Cowherd, probably.
Stephen A. Smith.
Really?
That's Steven.
That's so sad.
Like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
A lot of people also like the Barstool guys. A lot of people my age.
Well, there's so many more options. But when I was in school, Jim Rome, he was the big show. Have a take. Don't suck. Sup, clones.
I have no idea what he even looks like.
Really?
Yeah.
Romy?
Really? Look up Jim Rome and Jim Everett.
Jim Rome and Jim Everett.
Chris.
Yeah. Just
bet you don't call me that again. Too. Bet I do. Chris.
I've seen that clip. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Where
that
guy attacks him.
Skinny small radio guy about got his ass kicked by a professional football player.
You gotta buy. I mean, that takes some guts though to sit there and.
Oh yeah, I mean, guts are just complete stupidity. I mean, that's like something that somebody, you know, there's several people at, that work at Fan Run that I could see doing it. Mainly me, you, Reed, McClure.
He's talked about that before, how like that was not a setup. That was real, and it was live TV too. They had to cut away, and he says that he's tried to bury the hatchet, and Jim Everett won't return his phone calls. Taking that one to the grave.
What was the deal? He just didn't want to be called Chris?
Yeah. Well, he's
Chris Everett.
Calling him Chris Everett. Yeah. Basically saying you're a girl. Chris Everett, the tennis star?
Oh, okay. I've never heard that name. Either.
You don't know who Chris Everett, the tennis star, is?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Chris
and,
Everett.
And you want to be in sports radio. I'm going to have to give you youngins.
I mean, listen, we don't do a lot of tennis talk on this show.
Well, she was a fairly key sports figure in the 1970s. Maybe the first hot female tennis player, Bear. I mean, you're more of that.
I never really did it for me.
But
she's a bit of a looker.
But she was kind of a sex symbol of the 1970s, right? She was one of the first hot female athletes.
I mean, I guess I was a little kid, man.
Kind of like those tennis skirts.
You know, I can't remember who was a.
You don't like Chris Everett? Tall, leggy blondes don't do it for you, Bear. Okay, I mean, nobody's passing judgment
Kornikova.
Here.
Kornikova. You know,
she was a trailblazer.
Kind of had a butterface.
But he.
She's kind of ugly.
Wow. You know, butterface reference on the show today. Did not see that coming. Here we are 20 minutes in, already off the rails.
Speaking of off the rails, I have a bone to pick with you, Russ. Yesterday, in Adam Hickman's Top 5 at 5, he announced that Daft Punk had announced they were splitting up. And I feel like you kind of disrespected a legend of the electronic music
there's
scene.
There's no feel about it. I disrespected.
Yeah, absolutely.
I disrespected. They're not very good.
They're very good.
They've got one song, Olive.
That is not
Robot
true.
Rock.
Listen. I know you've got some eclectic musical tastes, Alex, and I'm all for indulging that, but let's not pretend like they have some pantheon of mega hits the world over. They have
what are you talking about?
They have that one huge song.
Listen, I have brought in some bumpers. I'm not going to take over the whole show, but I do have a few bumpers that I will play that are some classic Daft Punk songs.
Now, number one, you listen. Don't ever interrupt Russell again while he's talking, especially when he's talking smack at you.
All right.
Number two, don't come to us, the two big music minds in the studio, with a couple of French fried frogs wearing motorcycle helmets and programming stuff on a computer.
Well, listen, I just feel like...
And try and look at us with a straight face. And compare them to the numerous great bands that are revered by the Drive.
That's totally fine. I have a ton of respect for your guys' music takes generally, but I think you're downplaying the importance that Daft Punk has had on the music industry. They've produced for a ton of great artists.
It's a cool little niche that they carved out. They've got what's the word I'm looking for here, Bear? They're a gimmick, okay? They're a gimmick, right? If they were just two European dudes, and congratulations to them. They hit on it. I can't do a French accent. We put on the helmets and we make the electronic music, and now we're very popular. Like, okay, great. Like you hit on a cool gimmick, like you're robot musicians and everything. That's cool. And there's a couple of songs like, oh, that's catchy. That's a catchy little tune. I'm just saying, before we dub these guys the new Beatles, like, let's just pump the brakes a little bit. They are okay.
I'm not calling them the new Beatles. I just think they produce for a lot more artists than you guys are probably aware of. They've been sampled.
You're aware of that, Bear? They've been sampled a lot.
Sampled a lot. They've produced for The Weeknd. They've produced for, I think, Janet Jackson.
They produce for anybody good?
Well, Kanye West.
They produce for anybody good?
That's just bad music for bad people.
Quick timeout. Christopher Gabriel coming up. Folks, Hurricane Chris up next on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear back with you. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in East Tennessee. And we are pleased to be joined right now by the CGP. Christopher Gabriel joining us this afternoon on the show. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, greetings from Central California. I'll just give you a little update here. It is 62 degrees and sunny here in the Central Valley. 2 hours to the west of me in Monterey, it's 68, and 50 miles to my east, it's 46 up in the mountains. But the thing that really threw me, I've got the little AirPods in. This is all like new technology for me. I'm not AirPod savvy. So I've got these little things in. I got them in the right ears. And so I have Siri on my phone, like most of the free world. And I have her with a British dialect because I just wanted something different. And suddenly I hear, incoming call from Knoxville. And I thought, wow, Russell and Bear, man, they got this thing down. And then I realized what the hell's going on. How you guys doing?
No, that's our British secretary giving you a ring.
I love that, man. You know, you guys are culture. Can I offer you, I know what we're going to talk about today because my sources are you and Bear, can I offer an unsolicited comment on the potential for a downtown Smokies Park?
You know, I was going to have that as kind of our kicker topic, but let's do a curveball. I'm for it. Let's lead it off because you and I were DMing a little bit about that, Christopher, over the weekend, and I know you've been keeping up with this, the beautiful downtown Smokies Ballpark, which we have been banging the drum for on The Drive for over a year now, and we're at that point where decisions are being made, debate is being had publicly, and it is go time right now for this ballpark, Christopher. Your thoughts on, I know you've seen the drawings and the plans and everything about it, and you've also seen some of the back and forth about it right now. What do you think about the new downtown ballpark for Knoxville?
Well, I won't bury the lead. I am 100% in favor of it, and there's a couple of reasons why. And I'll preface it by saying this. I was in Minneapolis and then Fargo covering start to finish Target Field for the Twins and U.S. Bank Stadium for the Vikings. And there was the predictable back and forth. There was the standard guy who is in every city who comes out and says, it's garbage, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of taxpayer money, and on and on and on. So I had people at the state level, as well as guys who were covering it from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, as well as the Pioneer Press. And what we finally discovered when you got down to the bottom line was, you're talking pennies that were coming out of taxpayers' bank accounts. Pennies. And what the stadium for the Vikings did, and I'm going to roll this into the Smokies, what the stadium for the Vikings did, which so many people didn't seem to realize, they were going to lose the Vikings. That was going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue, and every mom and pop shop that sells merchandise from the boundary waters on the Canadian border down to the Iowa border were going to go out of business because they didn't have their number one seller anymore, and that was purple, Minnesota Vikings merchandise. In Knoxville, listen, I have been to Lindsey Nelson Stadium 100 times. It's a cute little ballpark. But if anybody has gone around, and listen, Lindsey Nelson was great. I grew up listening to Lindsey doing Notre Dame football highlights on Sundays, even though I hate Notre Dame. It's all I had in Chicago. But yeah. That ballpark, if anybody has noticed around the SEC, LSU, Mississippi State, Alabama, Florida, Auburn, on and on we go, they have gone light years past Lindsey Nelson. If the city is going to build, or Randy Boyd's going to build a stadium, whether some of the money is coming out of taxpayers or not, it's going to be a massive recruiting tool for Tennessee. I'm assuming, Russell, I'm assuming that Tennessee would likely play there. Why spend $50, $70, $100 million, whatever it would cost, to update Lindsey Nelson Stadium? And I remember when Fulmer took over saying, well, they're not going to be, we're going to kick that back. We're going to put that on the back burner. The hell with that. Tennessee baseball needs to come back. And if the downtown ballpark can help Tennessee, I am all for it. If they're modeling it after Wrigley or Wrigleyville, I grew up a mile and a half from Wrigleyville, all the better. I understand and I respect people saying they don't want it, but the money that ultimately would come out of a taxpayer's pocket, because it's come out of mine before, is minimal to the point where you don't even notice it.
Christopher Gabriel making his presence felt. Now, the argument out there is, Chris, that, hey, we need a new middle school in West Knoxville. We need roads. We need this. We need that. And legitimate stuff, right? I mean, these are important things that public dollars have to go to fund. And people will also say that Randy Boyd is a billionaire. He's looking for a $250 million stadium. He wants to put up half of it. Go ahead and put up all of it. It's your stadium. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and build it. What's your thought on that?
I think, listen, do you remember the 35W bridge collapse in St. Paul, and Minneapolis?
Yes, I do,
I missed that collapse by 11 minutes. I was coming home from where the radio station I was working on, went over it, and about 11 minutes later, I see a big sign, which was the public radio billboard that said the bridge had collapsed. In Minnesota, that was the big argument, and it was a fair argument. Wow. That infrastructure, bridges and tunnels throughout the state were in disastrous shape. But here's what both Republicans and Democrats discovered in the Capitol in St. Paul. They could, go figure now, they could do multiple projects at once.
They could repair
bridges. They could repair roads. They could repair tunnels. They could build libraries. They could do all of that concurrently with putting up a new Twin Stadium and a new stadium for the Vikings. In Tennessee, if it's a middle school, whatever it has, listen, those are absolutely important. Those are priorities. Those need to take precedence. But what the Vikings owners did, what the Wilt family did, and this was the good thing, they only wanted to kick in half, like Randy Boyd. The city and the county and the Hennepin County and the state got them to kick in three quarters. And if I'm the city,
yeah.
I would push the owner. Yeah. I would push Boyd and say, listen, dude, you got a lot of money. You probably have yachts in every port. You need to fork up more, and we'll get behind you. So I'm with people on that. Make him fork up more, but don't kill the project because there are other things that need to be done. Those can be done together.
No, I like that. It's a negotiation, and maybe you can get a little bit more out of him. But I think that it's important for the public to have some skin in the game as well. Christopher Gabriel is with us this afternoon. ESPN 940 in Fresno, correct?
You got it.
I'm on a bad streak of messing up. I call it. We had a guy on from. We have a lot of folks on from Nashville, and there's The Game and The Zone in Nashville. And I called the guy from The Game. I said that he was on The Zone. And then we had a guy from The Zone on, and I said he's from The Game, Christopher. So I'm a little bit gun-shy now when it comes to the call letters because I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll right
brother,
now.
We've all done that, brother. We have all done that at one point or another. Now, mind you, I've never gotten you wrong. But, you know, I have been accused of not letting Bear talk. And I always say, it's his show, man. It's him and Russell. It's their show. I've got a thing in the studio that says Bear Down. Okay, it's not for your bear, but it says Bear Down. I mean, you know, I'm trying to make amends here.
That's funny because every now and then we get out together out for drinks late and maybe one too many, and we'll say Bear Down as well around here, but it means something completely different. Christopher, your thoughts, and by the way, we're going to let Bear jump in here in just a minute. Tennessee basketball, Christopher, the expectations were just through the roof for this program coming into the season. We were having an honest discussion about a Final Four, something that's never happened in the history of Tennessee basketball. That was the kind of talk that was being bandied about in the preseason. Now here we are, last week of the regular season, and this team is limping down the home stretch, and we're talking about a 6 or a 7 seed and things like that if they can't get it together this week. Chris, your thoughts on what has happened to Rick Barnes's program here in year 6 of what has been an otherwise very successful era?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Tennessee basketball is near and dear to me. My second daughter was born on the night that Tennessee was playing Ohio State 14 years ago. Mm. They had the Vols had the 21 point lead, and then it went out the window and they got beat on the block shot at the end. And my daughter was in the hospital, she's in the hospital room sleeping, and I am pounding the concrete on the floor. I was so upset. I couldn't say anything because she was sleeping. The question I have for Tennessee basketball, and for all of your great listeners, and hello to all of them, they have been so kind to me and so welcoming to me on social media. The question that I have for Tennessee basketball is, are they the team that started 7-0, or are they the team that has since gone 8-6? The fact of the matter is, the 7-0 start, boy, that was deceiving. I'm with you. I thought this was a team that was looking at maybe a Final Four run. You look at some of the pieces they have with guys like Springer and Johnson, of course, the leadership of Fulkerson, Eve Palms, Josiah Jordan-James, and Victor Bailey Jr. I mean, they've got some talent on this team. But those first 7 games, fellas, this is a team. The only good win, and I don't mean anything against Tennessee, but the only good win was against a 17-7 Colorado team that is in the upper 4 teams of the Pac-12. Say what you want about the Pac-12, but Colorado is a good team. Beyond that, there's just nobody. St. Joe's and Philly, normally good. They're 2-14 right now. Cincinnati, normally good. They're 7-8 right now. So they're 7-0, and what do? They're 6-0, and they go and they play number 12 Missouri and Columbia, and they hammer them. That makes them 7-0, and I'm thinking right there, legit. This team is legit. That 20-point win, it wasn't even representative of how much they pounded that team that night. They come home to Thompson Bowling. Apparently, there was a row of cutouts of Nick Saban behind the Bama bench because they fall apart near the end of the first half and completely fall apart in the second half and get beaten by Alabama. I'm tired of losing to Alabama in different things. And for the rest of this second half of the season, I mean, you look at some of their losses. How in the hell do they go to Florida and lose to an absolutely average Gators team by 26 points? They lose at home to Missouri. They lose at LSU to an average at best LSU team. And by the way, how is Will Wade still coaching? They get beaten by Kentucky and Thompson Bowling in a game that they were basically never seemingly in. The Kentucky win in Lexington, they had to come back. Here's what I see about this team. And, I'm not a coach. I'm not going to ever presume to know more about Rick Barnes. But looking at their numbers, fellas, there's one big number. As deceiving as statistics can be, there's one big number that absolutely throws me. And that's the fact that this team is averaging 73 points a game. I don't get what Coach Barnes is doing. When you look at the kind of versatile offensive performers they have and the fact that they don't have a go-to three-point threat, this is a team that should be getting out on transition. Sweep the boards. You're doing real well on the boards this year. Sweep the boards. Get out. Fill the lanes and have Fulkerson or whomever trailing and get out and make every game up-tempo. This team should be averaging in the mid-80s, guys. And the fact that they're not, I feel like their half-court set is playing into just about every other team they play. And I believe that is just killing this team. The fact that they don't have a deep threat like this, like the Vols have had for years, man, that's a problem. And that's going to hurt them. And I do think, I think I may have sent you a note that they are looking at a 6, 7, or 8, maybe it was to Bear, that they're looking at a 6, 7, or 8 seed now. This team has the feel, and I hope I'm wrong. This team has the feel of being a one-and-done team, or they win one, a close game, and then they're out in their second game.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's the way this thing is headed. Bear, jump in here. Your thoughts on Christopher Gabriel's appearance so far? I just, for one, just wish the guy would show a little more energy and enthusiasm when he comes on our airwaves.
It's fantastic.
Hey, you know what? Can you tell you, sorry, Bear, but you know people are telling me to let you talk, so now I'm not going to. one of the highlights of my week or month is coming on with you guys because it's my chance. You know, I'm a media guy like you, but man, I've been a fan of Tennessee my whole life. So it's a chance to come on and shoot the breeze with you guys and talk with your great fan base on Twitter. So I love it. Sorry, Bear. Continue.
Oh, no, you're fine. Everybody needs to, you know, I don't talk much. I usually let Russell do all the talking when we have guests on. But I'm curious to get, you know, with the new hire of Josh Heupel, and he's kind of filled out his staff now in the past week finally. Where do you stand on the Heupel hire? And do you think that, you know, people... I'm starting to think people associate the end of the Pruitt era, the train wreck is kind of spilled over into the Heupel hire, and I don't know if I'm a big fan of it. Now we're just wanting to get your opinion.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it too, and I have a lot of thoughts about this. Number one, I'll speak to the fan base, and again, I point out that I'm one of them. What I don't get. When I look on Vol Twitter, and Vol Twitter is a force, man. I mean, it's like there's the United States military, and then there's Vol Twitter. I mean, it's really that simple. And when I look at a lot of the comments, you know, when I see Tim Banks getting hired, and the first couple of tweets I see, I hate this hire. Really? Why? That's the fan I want to get calling my program so I can say, why do you hate that hire? Tell me what it is that he did at Penn State in 5 years when they were in multiple top 10 rankings defensively in yards per play allowed, fewest passing touchdowns, fewest rushing yards per attempt, and so on. Overall pass defense, overall total defense in terms of top 25. What part of the hire don't you like? Listen, I like the Josh Heupel hire. I have wanted for the better part of 30 years, 25 years, going back to Peyton Manning, to see an electric offense in Neyland Stadium. And even then, when we had Peyton and we had T. Martin and then we had one guy after another coming in, it seems like the MO of Tennessee offense was, let's get a couple of touchdown leads and then let's just shut her down. You know, I, as soon as I say that, I think about the Oklahoma game in Neyland in which the Vols should have friggin' pounded the Sooners that night, but instead they let them get back in the game. I like Josh Heupel. I like what he did. 28-8, I believe it was, at UCF. I love the fact that he wants a quarterback who is versatile, a guy that can make every pass, a guy that can make quick reads, a guy that can do the RPO, but he also wants a strong running game. Reminds me a little bit of Spurrier. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Josh Heupel is Steve Spurrier, but a lot of people forget back in the 90s when you had Danny Werfel throwing, you know, to Ike Hilliard and just that whole fun and gun. He always had a punishing running game to open everything up. And Josh Heupel understands that. So I love the hire. I like the way he has filled out his staff. I think there's a natural proclivity for fans to immediately say, we suck. Why can't we have good things? We're miserable, et cetera, et cetera. And at Tennessee, this is a program that has been top 10 in wins. And I'm not breaking any news to anybody. Top 4, 5, or 6 in bowl appearances, bowl wins. It is overdue for this program to get back, but I do think there's a lot of residue. There's a lot of just ill feeling about everything that happened with Pruitt. I had to be talked in. A good friend of mine in Albany, Georgia, a lifelong Vols fan, I had to be talked in to the Pruitt hire. finally I got on board, and I thought. Then I thought to myself, well, why did I get on board? Well, this happens to us again. So I think that people just need to take a deep breath. Maybe I need to take a deep breath. Move away from their computer, move away from their phone a little bit, and give the guy a chance. You know, these guys, they're coming in with an expectation. I like that Josh Heupel clearly understands what Tennessee football is about. He understands what the fan base is about. I mean, let's face it. This is not a guy that suddenly arrived in Knoxville and said, whoa, heck, look at this. They got a big stadium here. They got their colors are orange and white. How about that? The guy knows Tennessee. He was a Heisman Trophy runner-up. This is a guy that knows how to coach offense. He's a guy that, unlike Pruitt, has 3 years under his belt as a head coach. I'm hopeful. Will I be proven wrong? Will all of us who are hopeful be proven wrong? Maybe, but every coaching hire is a crapshoot. I always go back to Bob Stoops when, you know, and I mentioned it last time I was on with all you guys, that when Stoops got to Norman, Oklahoma, it wasn't a slam dunk. There were plenty of people in Norman, Oklahoma, that were very wary of bringing in a defensive coordinator. So what that he had success with Florida? People were saying, this guy's never been a head coach. Well, his second year, they go undefeated and they win the national championship, and that program has never looked back. Why can't this time be the time that it happens? I'm not saying it will, but why can't this time be that time, fellas?
You have to get lucky at some point. You just have to get lucky. And Saban going to Alabama produced this unrealistic expectation that every fan base has, including Tennessee, which is, well, just throw a bunch of money at it. Just go out there and throw a bunch of money at it. Like, nobody can do that with everything aligned perfectly for Alabama that year. And it sucks, but it is what it is. Hey, when Saban went to LSU, he was Bob Stoops going to Oklahoma. Chris, nobody knew who Nick Saban was. He was just some guy who had one decent season out of five at Michigan State. They got lucky. They hit the lottery. Oklahoma got lucky and hit the lottery with Bob Stoops. And I'm with you, man. We don't know if we got lucky and hit the lottery, but I like Danny White at least willing to roll the dice instead of what we did last time, which is, well, let's just try and do what Georgia's doing and get the guy who stood next to Saban and do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Russell. I mean, you look at how many times Notre Dame missed before they had Brian Kelly. Yep. And Brian Kelly didn't exactly set the world on fire. There were plenty of people in the Notre Dame family, you know, up in South Bend, the Chicago area, that wanted him gone. Notre Dame said, hold on, let's just wait and see. USC hasn't exactly set the world on fire since Pete Carroll left. They've still been searching. What has Nebraska done since Tom Osborne? I mean, Michigan, they just gave an extension at half his original base from his original contract to Jim Harbaugh. I mean, you can point to Jim Harbaugh and having a great winning percentage there, but he's not beaten Ohio State. He's 500 against Penn State. He's 500 against Michigan State. He's not gotten the team to the Big Ten championship game, and he's not gotten to a New Year's Six bowl game. What the heck has the guy done? But they've hung on to him. I don't know how long that's going to last. You're right. It's a crapshoot. You don't know what you're getting. You hope to catch fire. You made the point about Saban. When he came down from East Lansing, basically, I mean, I remember when he got down there like you did, people were thinking, how is a Big Ten guy going to do well here? And we saw what happened there. So I think people need to be patient. It's the Tennessee fan base, which you are a part of, which Bear is a part of, which I'm a part of. We've been frustrated. We've been livid. But, you know, it's a fresh start, right? It's like when you're dating a girl and this new gal, and she says something that an old girlfriend says, and you're immediately thinking, oh, man, here we go again. But it's like, oh, different girl, different set of circumstances, different everything. Same thing with Josh Heupel. I don't think I've ever made a comparison between dating and college football coaching, but why not?
It's a different girl. It's a new girl, and, hey, we'll see how it works out. Christopher, always excellent catching up with you, man. We will do it again soon. What do you have on the CG program coming up later on 940 ESPN Fresno?
We are the affiliate for both the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. So today we have my buddy Ben Ross, a multi-talented broadcast journalist up in the Bay Area. We're going to preview the Oakland A's. And then a friend of ours and a friend of yours, Dr. Maurice Big Knocker, is back today for his 23rd time. He will come on at 7:05 your time. We're going to talk about the latest with vaccines, one shot versus two shot, the variants, and the fact that in March Madness in all the arenas in Indiana, they're going to welcome up to 25% back, except for in Bloomington, where they're going to say 500 tops. Is that wise? Is it not? We'll see what Dr. Maurice has to say.
Excellent. You can listen on 940ESPNFresno.com. Christopher Gabriel, the CG program, coming up later today. Christopher, thank you so much, brother. Always a pleasure.
Russell, Bear, it's great to be with you guys. Good health. Be well. You guys have a great show. I love tuning in. But when I get my show prepped, I love tuning in to you guys. And all the best to your great audience out there.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Christopher Gabriel. Just wind them up and let them
ring it.
Yep. The G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or that phone number is 865-558-8030, serving all of East Tennessee for over 20 years now. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. All right, a lot to unpack. We'll take a quick timeout. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN in Fresno. Bear, what did you learn?
That guy brings it every single time. Every time he steps up to the plate, he's bringing it.
He's like a radio espresso. It's like, boom!
Yeah.
Hit you right in the chest.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, just rapid-fire, highly intelligent sports takes are not something I'm familiar with, Russ. So, usually blown away where to start. Thing jumps out on me is, and I'm really glad that our listeners are dice. I'm sitting here thinking, when he's saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, you've never been on their bad side. the baseball thing, I like his idea about, you know, negotiating. You know, I do think that, you know, Randy Boyd should probably cough up a little more the money. Sure. On this deal, since he owns everything. But we can't cut off our noses to spite our face, and which we sometimes do here in Knoxville. Yeah. We've got a history of it.
Well, we can't let the team get away again.
No, we can't let the team get away, and we can't, you know, cut off our nose to spite our face and not have this beautiful park and revitalize a section of the old city, and, you know, the tax money and just a civic pride and fun, Russ, of being able to drive downtown and go to a ball game again.
Yeah.
Young people have no idea, none, how much fun that was.
Yeah, and I think this will be twice as fun because, let's be honest, Bill Meyer Stadium was not in a great place, part of town. Nobody was hanging out on Magnolia Avenue hitting up a bar before they wandered into Bill Meyer Stadium. And you're going to be able to do that here. You're going to be able to take your family down there. And whether you're going out for beers with the guys or you're going on a date or you're taking the family out to get some pizza before the game, you'll be able to do that, hang out, have a good pregame experience, and then wander into the ballpark. It's really a cool thing they set up, and it's more than just baseball. There's going to be concerts, soccer, other kind of events there. They said that they've got plans to keep the stadium basically open to where folks can go and just walk around down there and hang out. So, again, said it a billion times, contact your county commissioners, your city representatives, and let them know you want to get this done. Bring this thing on home. It's time to get it across the finish line. Don't screw it up again. All right, coming up, Alex will have your top four at four, the latest on Tiger Woods, involved in a serious car accident earlier this morning in L.A. We'll talk about that when we continue. Then, open lines for the 4 o'clock hour. We'll squeeze in as many as we can. Let's load them up. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.